Introducing Season 2 of Family Ghosts, a podcast that takes a closer look at the legendary tales that shape our family histories. The Irish Times says, "It feels like listening to an especially fascinating acquaintance telling a long story in a pub through the lens of a 1990s American high school comedy." It's a new season. New episodes come out every Wednesday. Hear stories such as the missing container of Chinese food that has haunted a family for 25 years. This is the first part of the first episode in a 3-episode series on the Love Family Cult, a family built on 1960s ideals that quickly devolved into a dictatorial cult. To listen to the rest of the episode and hear the story of the Love Family Cult from the people who lived through it, search for Family Ghosts wherever you get your podcasts.
Today we begin the second season of Family Ghosts, and as our team thought about the questions we wanted to explore in our stories this season, I kept coming back to the watchword of our show, every house is haunted. And I got to thinking, that phrase begs a question, which is, can you even have a family without ghosts? And what would happen if you tried to create one?
The first spark that led to the Love Family being what it is was an LSD experience.
In 1967, Brian Allen dropped out of the University of California and moved to San Francisco. And when he got there, he was crashing on a friend's floor with another guy who was also new in town. That guy's name was Paul Erdman, and Brian wasn't sure what to make of him at first.
He was always kind of a little bit of a hustler salesman, even then and always, really.
Paul suggested that he and Brian should get their own apartment and be roommates. He also suggested that Brian should put up all the money for the rent and the security deposit, which Brian did reluctantly. But they found a place, and shortly after they moved in, they took some LSD together.
What we ended up doing is turning face-to-face, knee-to-knee, sitting in lotus position, facing each other and looking into each other's eyes.
Before long, Brian started to feel like he and Paul were melting into each other, like he couldn't tell where one of them ended and the other one began. And then Brian started to have visions of faces of his family members, and then faces of devils. And then the faces started changing, moving faster and faster before his eyes.
Ultimately, I started to see that all of these faces were really the same. They had the same quality. They were all parts of the same thing. Even the ugly ones, they were just part of the human spirit. And then I started to see that all of us collectively, that's what Jesus Christ is. Jesus is all of us. We're all Jesus. So we're saying this to each other, and he's having the same experience. So we're saying to each other while we're looking into each other's eyes, we are one. We are God. We are one with God. We are one with each other.
And there was something else they said to each other.
And we said, okay, let's try to just keep our focus in the present. Let's not talk about the past. Let's not talk about the future.
They didn't realize it at the time, but those words and this vision that Brian and Paul had together would completely change their lives, and eventually the lives of several hundred other people.
Anti-war demonstrators protest U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War in mass marches, rallies, and demonstrations.
Meanwhile, outside the apartment, at the corner of Haight and Ashbury Streets in San Francisco, the Summer of Love was in full swing. The Grateful Dead were playing some of their earliest shows in an old Victorian house. Scores of hippies filled the streets, smoking pot, dropping acid, reciting poetry, and protesting the war in Vietnam. By some estimates, 100,000 people flocked to Haight Ashbury that summer. To the news crews that descended on the mayhem, the hippies proclaimed that they were remaking culture, finding a new way for humanity to exist. In interviews, they declared that all of civilization was up for grabs. But over the course of their time as roommates, Brian had the sense that Paul Erdman was in it for something else.
He wasn't like all of the other people that had been attracted to San Francisco. He didn't have long hair. He didn't grow a beard yet. He was still pretty much a used car salesman kind of a guy. What he liked about it was the lot of easy access to sex, drugs, and rock and roll. He was exploiting it, and he talked about it. He just said, this is like so easy to exploit these people here.
A year or so after that fateful LSD trip, Paul left San Francisco and went back to Seattle, where he was from. He moved into a house in what was then a fairly rundown part of Seattle called Queen Anne Hill. Paul and a handful of housemates lived simply. They didn't have much in the way of possessions, and they spent most of their time having sex with each other, taking LSD, and talking about the visions they had. And somewhere in there, the group became consumed with this quest to figure out what was real and what was imaginary. As Paul sorted through his visions, he kept returning to the concept of love. And in particular, this phrase, love is real. And then Paul had another vision. The word love, carved in gold on a pyramid, floating atop a cloud that seemed to represent the discord plaguing American society. He suddenly had an epiphany that the concept of love was the only thing that could reunite God's wayward tribes of Israel, and that Paul himself was the one to unify them under the banner of love. And so, Paul Erdman, the man who'd been proclaiming that love is real, issued a new proclamation. From now on, he would go by the name Love Israel. One by one, he began rechristening his housemates. One became Strength Israel, another Zeal Israel. As Love explained it,
everybody represented a virtue. And so those are the names that we got of what we represented, even though we had all the virtues in us. That's what we represented. Everybody has a part to play. Everybody has a face of God to use. Everybody.
Gradually, Love began inviting others to come live with them in the house and bestowing virtue names on them. And Love gave the group a new name as well. The Love Family. So last summer, our team spent a few months researching the Love Family, and then we went out to Washington State and interviewed a bunch of people who were part of it. And today, we begin a three-part series about the Love Family, beginning with the story of Love Israel, the man who tried to build a perfect family, but ended up becoming his own family's ghost.
We are one, love's the only way. God is with us every day.
From Spoke Media and WALT, you're listening to Family Ghosts. I'm Sam Dingman, and this is Episode 8, The Love Family, Part 1. Love and logic.
Remember that we are really all one. We're definitely a family. And, you know, how it all shakes out, we don't know. But one thing we know for sure, we're a family.
Our story begins after the break.